have to come back to... Pardon? You got to move back. You're afraid I'm going to get you to crane your neck. All right. Father, we just thank you. Thank you for this world that we live in. We thank you for the love of God, which is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost to declare the love of God and to show forth the love of God to the entire world. That's why we're here. So, Father, we thank you that you are using us. You are transforming us and changing us daily so that we are more demonstrative of your image in the world, that we no longer fear what man shall do unto us. And we're not afraid of the day, the next day, and the next day, whether, you know, we're going to have enough or whether things are going to go our way or go the opposite direction. So, Father, we thank you today that we are looking at your word and rejoicing, and thanking that your word transforms us and changes us. And thank you for it as a gift. The early disciples did not have what we have in respect of the written word. So, Father, we're grateful and thankful that we daily can read, daily can hear, daily can meditate, daily can digest and ingest the Word of God. We thank you for the communication that we have, Lord, with the internet. We thank you. 500 years ago, they just thanked you for having a printed word. And then many years later, for having the printed word made available to the masses because of education and the ability to read of the masses. Father, we thank you for all of these things, yet today the gospel is still not known among us. In fact, less so than in many years past. With all the information and all the knowledge and all the ability we have to hear the Word of God and have it presented to us, Father, we ask you, Lord God, to manifest yourself through us. Through us. That's why you sent the Holy Spirit. That's why you empowered us and indwelt us. And so we thank you this day that we just remember what you have commanded us. That we just remember and wake up daily saying, Lord, use me, cause me to be a vessel to demonstrate the good news of Jesus. Not the good behavior, but the good news. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah. I shared a message a while back in July for our ministers at World Ministry Fellowship, where we have our, Pastor Jim and I have our ordination fellowship. And I was privileged to give the charge to the new ordination, new ministers being ordained. And the theme for our ministry, the theme for our convocation, which is the meeting that we have for several days over in Dallas, was ministering in a period of change, in a time of change, a season of change. How many know we're in a season of change? How many know as you get older, you're in a season of change? Amen? How many know that we've... some of you from the 60s, some of you who have lived, you know, from the 60s, that things have, we've been in a season of change. We've been in a season of change since the early part, or the mid part, of, certainly the mid part of the 20th century, that has accelerated and has really taken the gospel and the kingdom of heaven out of the mainstream of American community and life. Now, we have many, many churches, we have many, many believers and Christians, but the bulk of society and the bulk of society that has been directed to or ministered to by mainstream media, I don't mean to say it in the colloquial sense, but the media, you know, MSM or something that you read in the Facebook, but the large media outlets and sources have tended toward secular humanism, and they are no longer promoting, or and in fact are demoting the gospel, demoting the fact that God's people are the bulk of the people in the United States. Rather, they promote the idea that godlessness and sinfulness, according to the Scripture, are the norm, in fact. Anybody notice that? It's because these are the normal things, and those of you who disapprove are hateful and angry, and we believe that you should be silenced and you should be put out of the synagogues, as they say in the Scripture. Is that, you know, remember Jesus said, they will put you out of the synagogues. They'll put you out of the places. Because synagogues were places not just of religious teaching, but of teaching. So we have been put out of the synagogues. We've been put out of the places of teaching truth. We've been put out. And so that's the way that the world has now begun to deal with us on a persecuted church basis. Amen? You notice that? Is that you are no longer in the majority as a Bible-believing Christian, as one who believes that homosexuality is wrong, someone who believes that sex before marriage is wrong, someone who believes that there are many things that we do in this society that are not helpful. It's not the fact that they're wrong and God disapproves of them arbitrarily, but in fact they are not helpful to you as an individual, to you as a person who is growing, to you as a person who is going to grow into the kingdom of God. These things are a distraction, and they will destroy you, and they will keep you from entering into God's best for you. Huh? And so what we were talking about during that time together was how Jesus, in the book of John, began to prepare the disciples for his departure. Did you notice that? I mean, beginning in the 13th chapter, what did he do there at the beginning of the 13th chapter? He washed their feet. First thing he said, and he said, now, as I've done to you, you do it to each other. Well, that just tells you, first thing is that within the church, it's incumbent upon us to love one another. Scripture says they will know you by your, they know you are my disciples because you love one another. Not because you bite and, as he says in another place, not because you bite and devour one another. That's not how we're sadly, the church has been often known as those who bite and devour one another. They're talking about the Republicans that way now. The Republicans are the ones who are biting and devouring one another. And so they liken, and many of the Republican directives and platform positions align themselves with scriptural positions. And so it was not always that way, but what you do is you tend to find the one you can work in, and then you begin to work it. And that, for the purposes of society and the purposes of a nation filled with Christian people, you are gathering together to set forth a platform that is amenable and agreeable to most Christian people. So that you, because it's incumbent upon us as believers, if it's in your power to do good, it's incumbent upon you to do it. Not so God's happy with you and he's already happy with you. How many know? Because you've received Christ Jesus, God's already happy with you. Amen? But then he comes in and begins to work that which is well-pleasing in his sight on the inside of you. So it's important for, especially in a season of change, where the opportunity remains for you and me to make a change and a difference in a public sense, because in this nation, who's the president is not the king. The congressmen are not the king. Guess who's the king? Me, in the nation. Now, Jesus is my king. Thank God for the... thankfully for the nation, Jesus is my king. But in the nation, in the secular sense, the individual is the ruler. And as you, as the ruler, have opportunity to make an adjustment to the world around you, it's incumbent upon you to do that. If we have a liberty, which God gives, then we have a duty to perform that liberty, to walk in that liberty, not to just say, well, it's not up to me. It's up to God. Well, God left you here. That'd be like saying, okay, I don't need to tell somebody about Jesus because that's God's job. No, that's your job because that's why you're here. It's not your job as a job. It's your job as it's a natural outworking of the Holy Spirit. So what is your job? Your job is to meditate and fellowship as a Christian, to meditate and fellowship with the Lord. And so He is removing sin out of you. He who's removing sin? Say He is. He. How about this? He is. It's not just He's responsible. In fact, what happens is, as we worship Him, He is removing sin. Now, sin, big S, sin has been removed. The power of sin has been removed. Sin, little s, plural, daily mess-ups, are being removed by Him as we fellowship with Him. Amen? He may tell you what He's working on. That's good. And He says, just watch this. You just worship Me, and I'm going to take that out of you. I'm going to remove that out of you. Do you believe that? You believe He's doing that? Everybody say yes. Yes. I believe He's doing that. Yes. That's His promise. He's taking sin out of the midst of you. And when Jesus began to prepare the disciples for His departure, first of all, washing their feet, then He tells them He is going to send them another. I'm going to go away. Whoa, wait. We thought you were going to be king. Well, not yet. Oh, well, bummer. I thought this thing was happening. I thought this thing was happening now. I thought we were getting a new kidney now. I thought it was happening. But He said, no, I'm going to send another. Oh, wait. Oh, what? Who? He's going to send us. He's going to send us a substitute. He's going to send us some. What's a comforter? I want Jesus. We're used to You. How many know we're used to what we're used to? And we don't like things that are new. We don't like things that are, you know, to change. So 3.5 years, they figure, man, we're just getting rolling. Then all of a sudden Jesus says, okay, by the way, I'm leaving, but I'm going to send you another comforter. But that comforter is going to be with you. And He's not only going to be with you, but He's going to be in you. What? They're like, they thought it was another guy or something. You know, maybe, you know, maybe Peter. That would be a bum, right? Of course, somebody else decided it was Peter. You know, it's another group of people. They decided, I'll skip the Holy Ghost. We'll just take the Peter guy, and he's kind of the next guy. Right? And that's pretty much what the church did, is decided that Peter was the vicar, the replacement, the substitute for Christ. He was the next guy. Jesus was always going to have a guy. And so that's where we get what they call the Pope. Is that you've always got a representative of Christ on the earth. You don't have a representative of Christ single on the earth. You've got a representative of Christ in your mirror. Amen? You are the representative of Jesus Christ. Nobody else. Well, what about Him? Yeah, Him too. Yeah, what about Roger? Yes. What about John? Yes. Well, wait a minute. What about Sandy? Yes. Amen. What? A woman? Are you kidding? Is that God is indwelling men and women. He's indwelling them all. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He's indwelling each one of you. So that ministering in a season of change is something that you have to get used to all the time. Are you ready with your shoes on? Are you ready with everything to just move at a moment's notice? Don't get too settled. Amen? Don't get too settled. I mean, you know, Ian and Cassie, you know, they're unsettledly settled. And then God picked them up and just, almost like a Philip thing, you know, just, except they did drive. But just moved them from Hubbard to Lake Worth. And you may not think that's a big deal. Little town to little town. But it's a big deal. Because God did it. Amen? How many of you, God has moved you unexpectedly? Maybe not even physically from one place to another, but just in whatever's happening. You were moved immediately. But what you do is you trust Him. I trust God that no matter what is happening, He's with me. Not that I did something wrong and something went wrong. How many do that? Yeah. I mean, that is such an emotional baggage that many people carry, is that I did something wrong, so God is punishing me. I mean, that's a mantra. We hear that all the time from people who are believers. At least they share the fact that that is still a thing that crops up in their mind, and they have to fight with it. Amen? And I want you to not have to fight with that. But the enemy is coming, it tries to come in like the flood, but the Spirit of the Lord raises up His flag of victory over that, and you go, oh, hey, we already won that hill. That hill belongs to me. Amen? How many know the hill belongs to you? And which hill? Well, the one that the enemy is trying to tell you, no, you didn't. That one. The one that the enemy is trying to come to you and say, you know what, and things aren't going to work out for you. That right there. No, you say, no, you're a liar. See, there are spies out there and there are liars out there. Now, whether or not that particular situation is working out the way you thought it was, that's okay. It doesn't matter. Even if it outwardly did not, you are walking in victory. Huh? I'm walking in victory. There's never a time when I do not walk in victory. Well, what about when you think you don't? Well, I don't count that. Amen? You ever been depressed in your head? You know, you don't have to be depressed in your heart. When you're depressed in your head, you just don't agree with it. I'm telling you, your emotional state is not an indicator of your spiritual strength. Your emotional state is not an indicator of your spiritual position and strength. Your emotional state is not an indicator of your position in Christ and your position in the kingdom. Your emotional state is just what it is. It's an emotional state that is subject to the Word of God and subject to the promise of God. Amen? Like these guys, you know, who were oh my gosh, Jesus, where are you going? Philip says, you know, we don't know. Jesus says, the way I'm going and you know the way. Well, we don't know the way. I mean, he's just going to disagree. He's going to disagree with you. How can we know the way? He said, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So all of these things are taking place. I know I said Psalm 1, we'll get there. This is just the preface. John 15 says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Verse 26 of that same chapter says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. In chapter 16, it says, if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send him to you. It says, I have many things to say. A very interesting portion of this is that in verses 12 through 15 of chapter 16 in the book of John, he says, I have many things to say, but you cannot bear them now. You cannot handle them now. If I told you about them, you couldn't even receive it. It'd be like me trying to explain the theory of relativity to you, and you just wouldn't know anything. It'd be like me trying to tell you how he built the universe, and you'd be, huh? I mean, he'd be using terms you couldn't even understand. I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. See, he will guide you into all truth. Now, he did make one final comment there in verse chapter 16 before he prayed for him. He says, in the world you shall have tribulation. Well, that's a good promise, isn't it? In the world you shall have tribulation, but cheer up. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So in the world, saying back in chapter 15, we're talking about how, you know, the world hated me, so they're going to hate you. So in the world, you're going to have problems. And we already, as I mentioned earlier, we do have problems, don't we? We have difficulties because this world has left us. They have, you know, gone back to the looking at themselves. They're going back to the Tower of Babel. We're going to build a tower, and we're going to make this thing our own, and things are going to happen our way. And you guys are basically kind of in the way. You guys are stopping us and slowing us down. We know exactly, you know, what direction we're going, and we're going to shut you down as much as possible in a nice way. At least most of us won't cut your heads off. We'll just put you in prison for preaching the gospel. We'll just put you in prison because we're good people. See, the people like to, you know, people in this country like to think they're good people and just dealing with these radicals. Yeah, because we believe that there is a God in heaven. We believe that there's a kingdom of heaven. And the fact is that there is. And there's a Savior that is needed and necessary, that He has given all of His life and His blood for us, and that He has paid the price for our salvation, and that we will live with Him eternally. We're ministering in a season of change. Amen. How many know that all things are working together for your good? Now looking over at Psalm chapter 1, taking the Word of God that we have. Now many had the Word of God related to them because of by memory, or they were written on scrolls that nobody had, very few had access to. When you went to the synagogue, you would be able to hear the Word of God preached. But the Word of God it's not a matter of memorization. The Word of God, in fact, for a person of faith, and there were people of faith in the Old Testament, the Word of God dwells on the inside of you. Faith cometh by, even though it's a New Testament phrase that we know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Is that when the Word of God is preached, there is something built into you that will hear it and can receive it. So David heard, Abram heard the word of the Lord. Noah heard the word of the Lord. Job heard the word of the Lord. He was a man who loved God. When all things went down, when all things went out the window, Job loved God. He didn't get it, but he loved God. His wife says, curse God, just curse God and let Him kill you. Just be done with it. You're a mess. Look at you. You got boils all over you. Everything you had is gone, you know. And maybe she was looking to be a widow and, you know, move on. I don't know what she was looking for. So, but how great. I mean, how old do you have to have 7 sons and 3 daughters, all grown, and then do it again? How old would a lady have to be to do that? It'd be another miracle, wouldn't it? That's almost like another Sarah miracle. So, I mean, because she did it again. Gave them all the kids back. 7 more sons, 3 more daughters, and they all grew. And he got all his stuff back. Same wife. That's a powerful testimony. You know, it wasn't even like Abraham, who kind of ended up going through extra ones. Amen? It's just, I mean, Job's wife. Wonder what her name was. What do you think? What was Job's wife's name? Janet. I think it was Janet. Yeah. That'd be not be Job. I'd rather have it be Sandy. So, Roger Job. No, but God's doing great things. But what He does is He comes in by His Word. That's what we're talking about. The Word of God comes in and gets a hold of your heart. And so we didn't have the Word of God like we have it today in these books that you can buy for $5 at any bookstore. And anybody can have the Word of God. Anybody can have the Word of God. And it says this, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Blessed is that man. So, that man, the guy who's blessed, doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Doesn't listen to the counsel of the ungodly. The man who's blessed, you know what blessed means? It means happy. Happy means you're not sad. Happy means you're not stressed or you know, like wigged out by circumstances. So happy is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Happy is the man that does not stand in the way that the way that sinners go, doesn't walk with them. And happy is the man who does not sit in the seat of the scornful. Somebody who has just always got a disdainful attitude about everything. Everything's going wrong. There's nothing going right. Nothing going good. The guy's not happy, is he? Happy is the man who does not sit in the seat of the scornful. But happy is the man, verse 2, just take that happy and bring it down here. But happy is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, or the Word of God. And in God's law does he meditate day and night. So rather than meditating on the counsel of the ungodly, the way of sinners, and the scornfulness of your own heart, your delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that law do you what? Meditate. Think on. Turn it over and over in your mind. Receive it and enjoy it. Chew on it. Enjoy it. Boy, it's like your favorite meal. Just going to get every little bite out of that, every little morsel of deliciousness out of that. And that's what he says, is that your delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. Doesn't say he's reading, doesn't say you're walking around with the Bible in front of your head all day, but what you do is you meditate upon it day and night. What could you meditate on? You could go back to verse 1 and meditate on all that. Amen. You could go and meditate on the Word of Man. You could meditate on the news. You could meditate on what people are doing to you at work. You could meditate on how your wife was not happy with you today. You could meditate on how your kids had messed up and things were not going right in that direction. You could meditate on everything else that's happening in this world, but God said, happiness doesn't come there. Happiness comes when you meditate on the Word of God, the promise of God, because He has delivered you from all evil and wickedness and destruction. And that life comes from there. Joy comes from there. Amen? So daily rejoicing and thanking God through His Word. Now don't read the one that says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and sinners." Don't read that one. That's not you. You have to rightly divide the word of truth. Yeah, you were a sinner, but now that you have received the gospel, you are no longer, positionally, no longer a sinner. You are now a saint. You are one who is in the presence of God daily, Obo. Hallelujah. Amen. This is so much fun. And when he comes for his own, you're going. Amen. Well, is he coming before the tribulation? In the middle of the tribulation? When do I have to be ready? Well, I'd be ready now if I was you. I don't know when he's coming, but I'm going on the first load. Amen. Praise the Lord. I could argue with you all day long, but I don't want to do that. I just want you to rejoice and have fun in Jesus. You ever notice some Christians are just irritable? They're just irritable because they don't think you agree with them on something. It's really very unimportant. Amen? What's important is that you know that you are the beloved of the Lord. And God loves you because of Jesus, and His blood has washed you and cleansed you from all sin. And then as you meditate upon His Word, and just spending time in the presence of God is critical, is knowing when things go wrong, everything is going my way. Amen. And don't look at what people say or people think or don't define things. define things through God's promise. I mean, you could go to Romans 8:28 and you just write that on your needlepoint and put that on your wall. Amen. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Well, what about this? Well, he said that's going to work. That's going to work to good for good for you. Well, no. Don't try to figure it out. Just say everything is going my way. God is working all things for my good. The thing that the devil intended for evil, God turns it for good. There's nothing that can, by any means, hurt me, Jesus said. Well, it looked like my leg got cut off. It looked like my kid went down south. It looked like my wife left. All things are working together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I don't know how He's going to work it. I don't know how He's going to change it. If she ran away, go get her back. If you ran away, if your kid ran away, go get him back. If somebody hit you on the left cheek, go love them. Amen? Somebody fired you, rejoice and bless them. Hallelujah. But happy is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law he meditates day and night. See, the law is not just the law that, well, you do this and you do that and God will be happy. No, the law of God is gravity. God made gravity. Amen? Otherwise you'd float away. See, the law of God, the laws of God, the law, the natural law and the laws of revelation, all of these things are God's law. He set it all in place, and it's all for your blessing and benefit. It's not for you to do. You can't do it. Amen? Paul tells you that. He said the law was not in any way a means of salvation. It was just a road to send you down so that you'd figure out that you can't become what God wanted you to become. The only way you can become by what God wanted you to become is by receiving the love of God through Christ Jesus and letting Him deliver you. That's it. You can't perform good works. Good works don't come from you. Hallelujah. Well, brother, I could do one. No, you can't. If it was a good work and God would count it, it'd be God. It'd be Him doing it. It'd be Him in you. You don't get the credit. See, people like to think you get credit for things. You know, you're like adding up, you know, stacking BBs in the wind. You know, people think that you can do that. You can't. You can't. Goodness doesn't come from you. Goodness comes from the living God. Are you having a good time? You're just having a good time. Happy is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord. In His law does he meditate day and night. And what happens next? He shall be that guy, the happy guy, meditating on God's Word, thinking on it, meditating on meditation sounds like some Eastern thing, you know, but thinking about it. Always keeping it foremost in your mind. Keeping His promises. You know, somebody promised you something, you've got that kind of written down, yeah. Somebody, let's see, somebody gives you a promissory note. Say, well, I'm going to give you $100,000 on May the 13th. You kind of looking, you got that day circled in red on your calendar. You know, you guys are going to give me some money. See, God's law promises that. He's that, you're going to get everything. You have everything and God's doling it out. It's coming your way. Everything is blessed. You are the most blessed of the Lord. Now, do things not happen correctly? Sometimes. They don't appear to happen correctly. That's okay. Your only job is to thank Him and praise Him and rejoice and know that all things are happening for your good. Okay. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he does, whoa, whatsoever he does shall prosper. Well, I'm looking at my history and that just don't look like me. I'm telling you, people just say that. Well, the problem is that people read the Word of God and they say, nah, didn't work. That's your problem. The Word of God is a promise that He is good for. All things are going my way. I don't agree when things appear wrong. I don't agree when it appears that my granddaughters can't walk. I don't agree. I believe all things are going my way. All things are going my way for my son and daughter-in-law. Amen? Amen? I mean, there are issues and things that appear to be a problem. And you could live in this world. Boy, living in this world would be sad. Because you don't have any hope. All you have is hope in man. All you have is hope in medicine. Huh? How about it? The scripture that says, Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. What's wrong with you? It's kind of like, what's wrong with you? You know better. It's again, talking to your soul. Bless the Lord. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. All you little minions who are disquieted, we're going to hope in God. My left toe is hurting, my back, my mind is distraught. You've got all these little things going on the inside of you, physically and mentally. And the scripture says, and the word of God says, why are you cast down, soul? Because the soul is the thing that analyzes and spits out an opinion. Huh? The soul is the part of you that analyzes the outward circumstances and makes calculations if I can pay the bill or if this thing hurts. So he says, why are you disquiet? Why are you cast down, O my soul? The Spirit says, why are you disquieted, uneasy, unsettled? Then he brings you back to the truth. He says, hope thou in God. Hope thou in God. So your soul doesn't get to rule. Your spirit informs your soul. Your spirit is the new man. I am a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, old things have passed away. All things have become new. These are all things we know, but these are all things that we forget. These are all things that just kind of get run over and covered up by, as we drive over the road every day. And it's good to rehearse them. Amen? It's good to rehearse them. So he says, and the man who delights in the law of the Lord shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, guys. That brings forth fruit in season. In season, what's that mean? It means, you may have to wait a day or two. Brings forth fruit in its season. But its leaf never withers. Fruit cometh seasonally. The leaf never withers. You're always healthy and green. And whatsoever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not like that. They're the ones back in verse 1. But they're like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let me just quickly go over to Peter and remind you of what we remind you. Yeah, 1 Peter. Second Peter chapter 1. Verse 4. Whereby, I'm talking about Jesus, and believing him, or verse 3, go back to verse 3. According as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Through the knowledge of him, there you go, meditating upon his word day and night. That is through the knowledge of him, that's how you get the knowledge of him, is meditating upon His promise, meditating upon His Word that has called us to glory and virtue. Whereby that promise, that knowledge, are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, the promises, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You've escaped. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Add to virtue knowledge. And to knowledge temperance, the fruit of the Spirit. This is either likened unto the fruit of the Spirit, which we see in Galatians. And to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, agape, unconditional love, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make... So if these things be in you and are abounding and are flourishing, they make that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. There you go back in the tree that doesn't wither. If these things be in you and abound, we're in verse 8, 2 Peter chapter 1. They make that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9 says, but if he that lacks these things is blind, now if you lack these things, if you have not been diligent in the Word of God, if you have not been diligent to meditate in the Word of God, you begin to fall back into Psalm 1, verse 1. You begin to listen to the counsel of the ungodly. You begin to walk in the way of sinners. You begin to sit in the seat of the scornful. So this is the guy that has followed that path. He says, but he that lacks these things has not been meditating. He is blind, cannot see past the end of his nose, past tomorrow, cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. See, a lot of us, we find that we forget we've been purged from our sins because our outward daily sins seem to begin to crop up again. The old ways, the old things. I thought I was done with all this. Well, what happens is you begin to look at yourself instead of looking at the Word of God, instead of looking at the promise, and no matter what is coming, no matter how desperate it seems, is that He is working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight as you will meditate upon Him. Thank Him, worship Him, glorify Him. Lord, thank You that You have come to dwell in me and that the Holy Spirit is on the inside of me and I have received the gospel and I have received the good news. My sins are forgiven and therefore daily the Holy Spirit is refreshing me and renewing me and come in fellowship with the saints. Don't wait. Don't hang back. Because you forgot you were purged from your old sins, at least in your experience. Maybe mentally. Maybe by the thought, I did accept Jesus. But the thing is, your practical daily outworking is, well, things just ain't working out. Because you're looking at you. You're looking in the wrong mirror. Go to James chapter 1. The guy that looks at, you're looking in the wrong mirror. You know, you're looking at yourself. But he that looks in the perfect law of liberty, that man shall be blessed in his deed. Here again, 2 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 10. Wherefore, rather, don't do that. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence. Give the diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, what is that? Meditate upon the Word. Be diligent in fellowship with the kingdom of heaven. First of all, with Jesus. I know a lot of people don't want to come to church. They just don't like anybody at the church. You know, hypocrites. Well, praise the Lord. Takes one to know one. Oh, I shouldn't say stuff like that. That's just kid stuff. No, just come. Well, come and bless them. Come and bless the hypocrites. Come and love them. Amen. They need you. You know, I shouldn't have to meet with them. Why not? Jesus did. Jesus ate with them. You can come next, the two Sundays from now, you're going to eat with all the hypocrites. That'd be a blessing. Amen. They need you. So, wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. You remember that word diligence is back in verse 5. I want you to go back and study that later. Say, I will.
I will.
Excellent. All right. I won't call you. All right. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Now, your mind may fall from time to time. That's okay. But you, listen, understand, you, spirit, born again, shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 12, watch this now. This is how come I always preach the same stuff. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, even though you know them. I know that. And are established in the present truth. Yea, I think it is meet or proper, as long as I am in this body, this tabernacle, this tent, this human form, I think it's right or proper that as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance of these things. Know that therefore shortly I must put off this body, even as the Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my death to have these things always in your remembrance. For we have not, this is Peter, remember, not Paul. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory, and when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard when we were in the Holy Mount, on the Mount of Transfiguration. And we also have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well, that you take heed, as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this, that no prophecy of the Scriptures is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I'll read one more thing out of Psalms and then we'll be done. I may lie to you. They read two things. Shouldn't lie. Okay, read this. Bless the Lord, Psalm 103, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, and bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. God is good. His mercy endures forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we just love you and we praise you. We magnify your name. We thank you for this word today, which is able to save our souls. The engrafted word, which is able to save our souls, cause us to rejoice in the midst of trial and trouble. We thank you today, Lord, that we are the sons and daughters of God. We're filled with the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Father, we give you praise and thank you that you're causing us to walk in holiness. Causing us to walk in holiness, which causes us to walk in power. So we rejoice and thank you for it right now, Father, because these bodies are being cleansed. And the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. We love all men, no matter how they look, no matter how they treat us. Because as Jesus, so are we. We love, not because we are loved, but we love because we are loved by you. And we love all men. So today, Lord, we thank you that you are working those things which are well-pleasing in your sight, transforming us into your image. That daily we remember you. Daily we remember that this world is not our home. But in fact, we are here to be a demonstration of the good news of Jesus. We love you. We give you praise. We give you thanks in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Go back and read.